All true. All true. We are live in Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show, and we're broadcasting from the Quicken Loan Studios. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Welcome to the program. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Friday to you. I always say, let's get that first email off the top of the program. Let's get that first phone call off the top. Let's get that first tweet. Somebody set the tone. And generally, it doesn't work. I always ask for it, but it generally does not work. Today, I've got one that I think may work. So before I tell you what your telephone number is, before I tell you who I'm interviewing today, before I tell you what I want to talk about, let me go to you. Let me go to a clone. Somebody else set the tone. An email right off the top of the show. The email reads, "Jump man, it's Friday. I'm feeling it. Like you and the XR4TI, I've been grinding all week. I know the grind includes today, but I need a jolt, an audio espresso." But you always say, be different. So I'm not going to ask for Marky Mark or the Yokes or Sandstorm. I'm going off the board here. I hope you will oblige. So, Little Al, do you mind hitting our eardrums with some all the way turn up? And please, turn it all the way turn up. You're the man, Rome. Let's crush it. Frank in Raleigh. Frank gets it. Not only does Frank in Raleigh, so good to have you back. So good to have you back, Raleigh. Lil Al, leave it up. Frank gets it. The grind does include Friday. TGIF, the grind includes Friday. You've gone hard. Finish the week the right way. What's going on that weekend the right way? Come strong. So whatever you do tonight is going to mean a hell of a lot more to you if you leave it all out there. Come strong on a Friday. Good job, Frank. Way to set the tone. A clone elevating things right out of the box on a Friday. All right, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. First hour is a busy hour. Coming up next, a pitcher for the Texas Rangers, Brandon Mann. He has got an amazing story. An amazing story of perseverance and strength. Brandon Mann joins me next. Lee Jenkins, senior writer for SI. Good way to go into the weekend. We'll talk some basketball with him. Lee is also coming up in hour number one. Looking ahead to the second hour, Johnny Venters, a pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, will be joining us. Third hour's open, aside from the other things that we do in the third hour on a Friday. Leave it up, Alvy. Leave it up. Leave it up for the entire segment. So those three interviews, we are front-loading, but plenty of opportunities for you to get through. All the way turn up. You've got your phone number. You know where to find me on Twitter. You know you can email me too. Man, it feels like it's been a long time since we've had any NBA basketball, any playoff basketball, and no basketball tonight. We need something to get us to tomorrow when the playoffs resume. Hockey. What else? Tampa Bay 4, Washington 2. The Eastern Conference Finals are now tied up at 2 games apiece. Caps fans, let me take you back. Let me take you back in time. Let me take you way back in time to better and simpler times. Caps fans, let's hop in the Wayback Machine and let's go all the way back to 5 days ago, to Sunday, when Trotsky's guys were an unstoppable rebel force, pumping 6 pucks into the Tampa Bay net, abusing the opposition, abusing goalie Andre Vasilevsky, skating circles around the best team in the East and cruising to a 6-2 win. How'd you feel then? It was time to buy the brooms. It was time to start planning parades after going into the champ's house and ripping the belt right off of Sid and Gino. A trip to Tampa was nothing more than a speed bump. 2 roadies, 2 W's, and then a couple of games in front of an absolutely hyped madhouse in the district, and then you punch a ticket to the Stanley Cup. It was your destiny, right?
You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
Go ahead, Alvy, bring it up. a Caps fan, did you really think it was going to be that easy? Did you think Tampa Bay was just going to roll over? That your first trip to the conference finals in 20 years was nothing more than a mere formality? That the highest scoring team in the NHL wouldn't bring their lumber to the district? Hell, that a team built by Stevie Y would all of a sudden turtle after it took two to the chin on their home ice? Yeah, I know it felt right. All those years of the Penguins getting over on you. All those years of playoff heartbreak. Finally, shaking that gorilla off your back after ripping game six in Pittsburgh. You had arrived. It was all good. Except that's the thing, right? Nothing is free in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And nobody ever planned a parade for getting out of round two. And the last time I checked, nobody ever hoisted anything after winning only 10 games in the postseason. And you of all people, Caps fan, should know better. So while I know a lot of you are tripping, a lot of you have your grip on, a lot of you have that queasy feeling that comes around this time of year. Thanks, Alvin. It's about to get real. Turn that down. Here's the good news. There is good news, Caps fan. You're still in this thing. Hell, I'll do you one better. You've got this. You've still got this. Is losing a 2-0 lead ideal? Hell no, it's not. But we are talking about the Caps. And when has anything ever gone according to plans with the Caps? We're talking about a team that has never met a moment of prosperity that it didn't trip on. We're talking about a dressing room that never feels quite right unless everybody there is breathing into a brown paper bag. Even better, we're talking about a team that has to get the hell out of the district and board the team bird for hostile territory. That's a good thing. It's a good thing the Caps are 7-1 this playoff season on the road. They're only 3-5 at home. Does that make sense? Not really. Not at all. But then again, nothing about this postseason makes sense. Road teams are 40-34. The defending champs went down on home ice. The Preds got blitzed in a Smashville Game 7. In Smashville. And while you can offer lots of theories about why this is, you know, parity across the league, the wild card format matches up better opponents earlier, less time between games. All that matters now, Caps fan, is that you win two of the next three and you get your ticket punched to the dance. You know what it's like to match up against a brick wall. You've seen a goalie stand on his head. And, well, Vasilevsky played out of his freaking mind last night. He is also the same dude that you scored 10 on your last trip to Tampa. You doubled up the Lightning in shots in Game 4. You outhit them. You baited them into countless penalties. You had more scoring chances. And now you're out of your own barn. Maybe you'll cash some of that in. Nothing has ever come easy for this team. Well, other than regular season wins. So while I know you had the brooms out and you're already dreaming about victory parades and lifted curses, get your chin off the freaking ground and be thankful that you're essentially playing a best 2-of-3 now. And that two of those games might be in the other guy's barn. Because at this time of year, a trip to Tampa usually means Ovi's got his golf clubs out. And this postseason, the only place better than home is any place away from home. Or at least if I were you, that's what I would be telling myself. Because you come home and you choke away a 2-0 lead, you will never live that down. That would be the most Caps thing ever. Dig deep. Dig deep. Find a way, because, Alvy, it's all the way turned up. Caps fan, I'm here to pick you up. I'm here to pick you up. You can do this thing. You better do this thing. I expect you to do this thing. It's still okay. It's still okay. I don't trust their goalie, and you play better away from home, at least this postseason.
I love when you talk hockey.
Right? I love when I talk hockey. I love tying hockey.
I love when you talk hockey.
So do I. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, I get that it sounds cheesy. TGIF, the grind includes Friday, but it's real. It's not a four-day work week. Scrubs, hit it hard. Finish. I don't care what you do the rest of your day. You work your ass off until you get 12:01 Pacific, 3:01 Eastern. You expect no less from me. But it is Friday, so we'll have a little fun too. 1-800-636-8686. We're talking hockey. Dear Rome, I did not expect the Lightning to roll over and die. I also did not expect Lars Eller to turn his stick into a fishing rod the last two games. That being said, I agree with Trotz. They've outplayed the Lightning in three of the four games, including last night. If they stick with the game plan, they're going to go to the finals. Unwar golden ticket holders that are still in hiding. Friday is for the choppa. Tyler in Edmonton. I agree with all of that. I agree with his take. On Tampa Bay, they have outplayed them in three of the four games. And unwar the golden ticket holders that are not coming out. They're too afraid to risk their golden ticket. Friday may be for the choppa. You know where I come out on this. The only thing I would rather do than give away a golden ticket is take away a golden ticket. I'm in the mood to give one away. I'm in an even better mood to rip one. Friday might be for the choppa. Nice job, Tyler. Respect, Tyler. Tyler keeps coming in. Tyler in Edmonton keeps coming in on the phones and on email. Respect, Tyler. I like the way you're handling your business. At Jeremy Lanza on Twitter, quote, it's Friday. Please ask coworker Scott Farrell to chastise Adam Hawk so he does not drink a loaf of bread at the driving range on Saturday.
Fat
hold on.
Ass.
Hold on. Hey, Hawk, I won't do it. I've been pretty tough on you lately. I understand. Maybe it's not fair. Maybe I've been a little bit harsh. Let me instead go to my colleague, Scotty Farrell. Hey, Scott, any words to the wise for my EP, Adam Hawk?
Fat ass.
Hey, Scott, I know you're busy. I know you've got your own show. You got a great thing going. Just out of curiosity, Scotty, my man, have you ever seen our show? Have you watched our simulcast? If so, if you had to think of one phrase to describe Adam Hawk, my EP, what would it be?
Fat ass.
Have a great weekend, Scotty. Scotty Farrell's been in the game a long time. My man. Den Lesks, he's also been in the game a long time. Not exactly killing the game either, Den Lesks. He tweets, it's Friday, and Adam Hogg is backed in and donut upped.
Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
Krispy Kreme's Hawk.
Krispy Kreme, fat boy.
Hawk's not fat. I mean, the doctor did say you better lose 10 pounds, but he said you got to lose 10 pounds because he's got a bad back. Hawk's not one of those, quote, fat guys.
Fat?
When Hawk leaves the studio, people are not waiting for him to scream, hey, fat boy.
Hey, fat boy, I got some donuts for you.
That was not directed at Hawk. It'd be pretty awesome. It'd be a great heckle, but that was not directed at Hawk. I wish it were. Hey, Jim, are you ready for work? I backed it in. Got the deck of Yaz loaded, but can't denim up because they don't quite fit right. Signed, Adam Hawk. Wow, it's become a thing. Hawk is a fat guy. Well, Hawk, probably better to be known as being a fat guy than knowing nothing about sports, right? Signed, Adam Hawk. Wore Big Sexy and his crew of guys that could take bullets in the gut and survive. Schmitty, straight out of the 760 here in SoCal. What's up, Schmitty? And my man Frank and Raleigh started the whole thing, which I like. One take and not even a tease for the rest of the program. We need some basketball badly, don't we? I want to talk about Golden State and Houston. Game 3, going back to Oracle. Let's talk some basketball. What's going on with Steph Curry? What's up with Steph Curry? They got to get him going. We'll hit that. What do the Cavaliers have to do to get back in a series that is already over? I will talk about that. It's Friday, so you know I like to go off the board.
Today's Friday.
Have a little fun. I'll get to that later on, but I need a timeout right now. Brandon Mann's coming up next. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a great show. 2018 is flying right on by. We all want to continue to elevate our game. We all want to continue to have the best year ever. Let me talk for a moment to contractors, builders, remodelers. You want to listen up because elevating your game for the rest of this year is a whole lot easier now thanks to my pals at Lumber Liquidators. What they're doing for you is offering you an LL Pro Plus program. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that you can call on for all your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus, an elite unit. They will help you crush it this year with their elite pricing and dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it. This way, you get what we all want. You get things done on time. LL Pro Plus gives you the ultimate value and quality both And with LL Pro Plus, it doesn't even matter how big that job is or how small it is. You put the flooring experts on your team right now by going to LumberLiquidators.com or go to a Lumber Liquidator store. Either way, once again, LumberLiquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever with Lumber Liquidators.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Friday, so I've got a few things off the board for you, which I'll get to later on. It's a good day. Have a little fun on a Friday. Once again, you want to hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. You know, when I promote an interview or two, sometimes you think, yeah, I'm not going to call. I'm not going to call because he's got interviews. The interviews are not always set right when I say they'll be set, so you may want to call anyway. You might get through. 1-800-636-8686. A story about an NHL prospect, a first-round draft pick, who may have thrown away his career over an addiction. Sad, sad story. But we learn a lot of things from it, so I want to hit that later on, too. Brandon tweets, that turn-up track is cute, but give the clones what they really want. Hashtag Decky Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
There is your Decky Yeah. Now you're covered. All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a pitcher for the Texas Rangers. He was a 27th-round draft pick in the 0-2 draft. He has spent time in the Rays, Dodgers, A's, and Pirates organizations, as well as 3 seasons in the Independent League, 2 seasons in Japan. He made his Major League debut on Sunday. The Rangers are at the White Sox tonight. It's an 8:10 p.m. Eastern start. Brandon Mann is my guest. Brandon, great to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to be on your show with you. So,
Brandon, it is great to have you on the show. It's really nice to meet you. You've got an amazing story. So I think for us to really understand where you are right now, you got to go way back. Start in 2002, if you don't mind. You were taken in the 27th round by the Rays. At that time, what kind of thoughts were you having about your baseball future?
Honestly, I thought, you know, I'm just going to get to the big leagues in a few years and have this long career in the major leagues. But then when you get into the minor leagues and you see the talent and how many amazing players there are, you're kind of taken back at first, especially out of high school, which I was. I had to rethink and train a little harder than I had been before.
Brandon Mann, my guest. So then you start that process, right? You spent some time with a number of organizations as well as some time in the independent leagues. But what we're talking about are places like Hudson Valley, the Inland Empire, Fargo, North Dakota, to name just a few stops. This is not an easy grind at all. What were those spots like, and how would you describe that journey?
It's just a part of Every place that I've been has become a part of me. And one of them that doesn't even really show up on my, like if you look at the baseball stuff, is I actually played a year of independent ball in Japan as well. And that was basically up in the mountains in Japan. I know translator. I had to walk to the field with my bag in Jersey every day, like a half a mile uphill. Just a lot of it, honestly, just built my character and kind of built my drive to make it to the big leagues.
Brandon, man, my guess, what was that like? I mean, you're carrying your bag, you're in the mountains, you don't know the language, you need a translator. How did you connect with your teammates, and what was the baseball like there?
The baseball was good, honestly, but I had spent 2 years in the MPB prior, and so I knew a little bit of the language, and I would try to study as much Japanese as I possibly could. And so I actually became somewhat of the translator for the other American on my team. And so the little bit that I knew, I was kind of the translator for the other guy. But I loved every minute of it. And there was a couple of fields we played on up there, all dirt fields, the outfield's dirt.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Brandon Mann joining us. No, it's all crazy. Like, so when you're going through this and a team releases you, I mean, essentially they're saying you're not good enough. We don't think you're a major league player. At a certain point, it seems to me it would be pretty easy to start thinking, well, maybe they're right and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy. Did you ever have moments of doubt? And if so, how did you deal with that doubt and what kept you going?
I guess one of the things that has you know, driven me to want to, you know, keep playing is every time I've been told no, I just always believe that I'm a major league baseball player. Like I'll get there, I'll play there. It doesn't matter if this person or this organization doesn't believe in me. I'm going to make somebody believe in me. And don't get me wrong, there was definitely days of doubt. There was many, many of them, you know, talking with my wife over just these last few years as I was getting up there in age. You know, there was a lot of conversations, but she believed in me. And, you know, I just never lost faith in myself and belief in myself. And, you know, I've had a lot of talks with my agent, one of my best friends, and he stuck with me through all of this. His name's Nick Lubicich. Just want to throw that out there.
Sure.
Love the guy. So, no, but anyways, no, like, I think that's just what's made me who I am today is this journey. And I, honestly, I wouldn't want to change it now. I love the fact that I've been to all of these places and met so many wonderful people and so many people that have believed in me and a lot that didn't believe in me. But you know what? It's nice to be able to reach out to those guys that didn't and, you know, just be like, hey, thank you for the opportunity that you guys gave me. But more importantly, you know, thank you to the Rangers for just taking a chance on me this offseason and letting me prove myself once again.
Brandon Mann is my guest, and thanks to all of you who did not believe in me because I got a little bit of fuel out of that probably. Just so we're very clear on this, right? You were drafted in 2002. You turned 34 earlier this week, and then back in the offseason, when you're 33, you and your wife Sarah had recently gotten married, and you're waiting for a team to call and give you the opportunity, and then the Rangers are there, and you get that shot. You were having a really good year at Round Rock. So when you finally get word that you're going to join the Rangers, after everything you've been through, all the years of grinding, all the travel, all the battle, all the work you've put in, what's it like to finally get the phone call you've been working your whole life for?
Oh, man. When I got called into the manager's office and he told me, honestly, I kind of went like numb in shock, I guess. Because I've been called into so many offices, and it's been the complete opposite news. It's, you know, sorry, we're not seeing a future with you, blah, blah, blah. It's been a lot of that. And so getting called into the office and being told that I didn't pitch tonight because I'm going to the big leagues was unbelievable. And I gave the manager, the pitching coach, just big, big hugs, and I didn't. And I probably hugged him too long, but it was one of those moments where I was like, wow, this is real now. And I called my wife and she started bawling her eyes out and called my mom and everything like that. But now that I'm here, honestly, you know, I'm trying to live in the moment, but I'm also just trying to be me and what got me here and trying to stick to my routine and not be overwhelmed by anything.
Listen, you're a pro, and you've got a routine, and I know you're going to stick with what got you there, but when you get that Major League jersey, and you walk around that clubhouse, what's that feeling like? I mean, did it feel normal and natural, or was the whole thing just really surreal?
It was very surreal in, you know, just a few days ago, but I just have always believed that I'm a Major League baseball player, and truthfully, it feels normal to me now, because this has been my life for, you know, what, 17 years or so of doing this. I put my jersey on and I go out with the guys. They're fantastic. It's obviously a higher level, but I just tell myself that it's the same game, just a bigger stadium with, you know, more, you know, bigger names around me.
Well, you made that debut on Sunday. You went 1 2/3 scoreless innings, and you're from the Seattle area. So not only did you make your Major League debut, but you got to pitch in Seattle in your second appearance. Let me ask you this. Since you've been called up and you've made your appearances, you've become an inspiration. You've become a role model for never quitting, never giving up on a dream. What's it been like to hear other people tell you that? And did you have any idea you'd have this kind of impact on other people?
I had no clue, honestly. Had no idea that it was going to reach a lot of people. For me, it was just my journey, I guess. And I've had a lot of people before getting called up that were like, man, why are you still playing? You know, but for me, it's just like, I know I'm a big leaguer. I never lost faith in myself, like I've said a couple of times, but it's just who I am, and I just if I believe in something, I'm gonna go after it.
Hey, Brandon, one last thought before you go. I got to ask you this. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's really important to me. You knew when everybody in the world was telling you you're not a major leaguer, you kept telling yourself, oh, but I am. I know I am. And there's got to be people listening right now who want to follow some dream, but they're not sure. How did you know when nobody else thought so?
It's just the belief in yourself that you can do it, you know? Like, and granted, I faced big leaguers at times, and I did well against them, like in spring training, even just this year, you know, I got to face a couple of the Mariners, and I did really well with them. 2014, I pitched in a few games in spring training in the big leagues with the Pirates, and I threw really well. And so, like, having those moments earlier on, it was just like, I could definitely do this. And if you believe and set your mind to something, I don't care if there was a lot of people that doubted me before who gave up on me. You just... okay, you know, like, that's cool, but find somebody who will believe in you and keep fighting for that.
And you did it. He made his Major League debut on Sunday. The Rangers are at the White Sox tonight, 8:10 p.m. Eastern. Brandon Mann, Rangers pitcher. Brandon, great story. I had to start the Friday off with that. Really nice to meet you. Really good to have you on the show. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
Me
Thank
too.
You.
Brandon, great job. Really nice to talk to you. Brandon Mann, love it. Love that story. He's 34. Been grinding. Just busting it. And has been everywhere. 34. Thanks, Alvy. That helped. Rays, Dodgers, A's, Pirates, Independent League, Japan, and never gave up on it and just kept battling and got his shot. So my thanks to Brandon Mann. All right, we'll take a short timeout. When we come back, we talk some NBA. Lee Jenkins, senior writer for SI, joins me. I'm looking for phone calls now. 1-800-636-8686. Friday's always a good day. We're loaded with content. I've got good interviews. We'll go off the board with a few things that I know you'll like. I've got the ATP coming up. I've got the week that was. What's going to the weekend the right way? First up.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
There you go. Feel-good story on a Friday morning. Brandon Mann, Rangers pitcher, grinds it out, gets his shot finally at age 34. Let's keep it positive. Let's keep it upbeat. Be about the right things. Your telephone call is coming up, but I want to talk some NBA. It seems like it's been forever since we've had a playoff game, but finally we will get them tomorrow again. Playoff action returning this weekend. We got to get through one more day. So how do we do that? Well, among other things, I'm going to run down a senior writer for SI, Sports Illustrated senior writer Lee Jenkins, very good friend of the program, too, joining us once again. Lee, good morning. It's great to have you. How are you?
Great, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, good, bud. Great to have you back. Let me start with Game 2, Lee, of the Western Conference Finals. When you see that blowout and that beatdown that Houston laid on Golden State, how much of that was a function of Houston being that much better than they were, and then how much of that is about Golden State, frankly, kind of sleepwalking through a game?
You know, Jim, I was up there last week up in Oakland, and I kind of asked those guys about flipping the switch. Like, you always hear that. Like, is that a myth or is that real? And what Steve Kerr and those guys said is that defensively, it's real. You can flip the switch because that's so effort-based. Offensively, especially when you have a system that's as kind of intricately calibrated as the Warriors, you know, there's so much movement, there's so much cutting and passing, that is an area where you can run into problems if you're looking to flip a switch, because so much of that is built on work and habits. And I think you can run into games like you had in Game 2 where they just didn't look like they had the harmony that we've kind of come to expect out of the Warriors. And listen, for the Rockets to pull this off, everybody always knew they would probably need an injury. They would probably need something to happen. I mean, it's kind of sad to say that, but they needed a sprained ankle. They needed something to go wrong for the Warriors. And maybe if Steph Curry is a little banged up here, that's the kind of break they might have needed.
We're talking to Lee Jenkins. All right, Lisa, what about Steph? The Warriors will tell you he's not hurt. Steph will say he's fine. What do you think, though, when you watch him play right now?
I don't know. It's just so reminiscent of 16, right, where he's not – he's good in stretches, and people will say, oh, Steph's back. And then, you know, this is good competition. This is a good defense he's playing, a much better defense than in years past. So, you know, you don't want to use it as an excuse. I'm sure the Warriors aren't, you know, don't want to use it as an excuse. But he's coming back from a significant injury. And I think that that coupled with how many guys were out for them down the stretch and how reliant they are, I think, on practice to keep that offense humming. I mean, this is the one. There are very few challenges to having four Hall of Famers, right? But the one is probably that you need that time when they're together to keep that offense humming, whereas the Rockets, what they do is more simplistic. I mean, there's such a study in contrast, the two teams, which is strange considering that the Warriors are kind of taking from D'Antoni's Suns days and the Rockets have gone in completely another direction.
And I want to talk about that very point in 1 minute. Lee Jenkins joining us. You mentioned 2016. I mean, this series was billed as the first series since 2016 that was really going to test Golden State. And then Golden State goes out, Lee, and they smash the Rockets in game one. Did you get the sense that Warrior players really didn't fear the Rockets, especially after the way they beat them down in that first game?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was up there and talking to them, I deep down, I think they think they can take care of this team, that they don't have enough. The Rockets don't. However, there was a lot more uneasiness than in years past. They felt like Chris Paul gave Houston a little bit more of an edge than they've had before. They thought defensively they were better. And they also, and this is sort of strange, but they felt that they'd be less predictable to guard. Even though Houston really runs the same play every single time down the floor and is so consumed with the threes and the layups, the Warriors felt like because Paul can hit you in the mid-range and do enough in the mid-range that it would give them another element that they would have to guard, and it would kind of make life more difficult for them defensively. So there was definitely a little bit of unease. I think they knew that they were in for a fight here, the biggest fight they've had since that 16 series against the Cavs. But I do believe, and I'm sure they still believe, that in the end, you're talking about four superstars against two. That's very simplistic NBA math, but generally speaking, it does come true.
Lee Jenkins, my guest. And what else is simplistic is, as you point out, Lee, their offense, the Rockets' offense. I mean, literally everything is a three or a layup. So if they're in a film session, for instance, and somebody takes a mid-range shot, what's the reaction?
Yeah, I was there for some of that. I mean, what they sometimes do is they'll draw a red X through your face, you know, and like if you cough up a mid-range. Now, Paul has liberty, though, that other guys don't have. So he's allowed to take that stuff, and like you'll see him kind of post up and take mid-range shots. And one thing that's kind of interesting is when they get to the last like 6 or 7 minutes and they're up double digits, then they're okay with the twos. Then they're okay with the mid-range shots because the idea is you're just kind of getting yourself to the finish line there. But early in the game, I mean, that's how Harden plays also. Part of it, I think, is because of the way Daryl Morey thinks, the way D'Antoni thinks, and it's probably a happy coincidence that they have a superstar who plays the exact same way. So it's an unusual system in terms of its simplicity because they have three players on the floor basically at all times, or at least two players, whose job is to not move, to not do anything but just stand there 30, 35 feet from the hoop. And it's that spacing and really the lack of passing and the lack of movement that gives the Rockets the kind of the prolific offense that they have. It's different, totally different than Golden State, right, which is predicated on all the cutting and the movement.
Lee, it's totally different, right? And you've pointed this out throughout the regular season, not just now, but throughout the regular season. They pass and they move less than any team in the NBA.
That's right.
It almost doesn't make sense at all. So how do you explain the success of their offense over the course of the regular season, playing like that?
It's the space. It's the ability to draw those defenses way out and then have two of the best one-on-one playmakers who ever lived able to just take their man one-on-one with a great screener and roller like Capella. So you're putting defenses in these impossible positions. You either leave a shooter, who those guys will find, for three, or you stay on the shooters and you let Paul and Harden and Capella beat you, play basically two-on-one volleyball at the rim. So it's simple, but they put you in a difficult position basically every time down the floor.
Lee Jenkins joins us for a few more moments. Lee, you've got a great piece in the May 21st issue of Sports Illustrated about Draymond Green and his square. What is his square and what is his philosophy when it comes to that square?
You know, the square is sort of, I think that's a term Bob Myers, the Warriors GM, came up when he's talking to Green about. basically about his temper and his ability to – he's a powerful voice, clearly. And I think in previous years, that voice was running all the time. And it's still loud. It's still a powerful voice. I think he's found more ways to channel it. I think he uses it a little less. When you hear him now, I think he talks a little bit – maybe less out of anger sometimes when he's emotional. It's a bit more calculated, the message. He's still very much the spiritual leader of that team, and they might need that more than ever right now, if given the way that Houston, you know, potentially has closed the gap. So he's crucial for them in, you know, so many different ways, especially defensively. And when you see what they're doing right now, even in the playoffs, like, their offense has been very good. But the place where they've really spiked is on defense. And whenever that happens, I think it kind of goes back to him. He's the catalyst for all of that.
Hey, Lee, how about a quick thought about the East? The Cavaliers down 2-0 in their series with Boston, despite the fact that LeBron had another monster game in Game 2. What do you think LeBron makes of the situation that he finds himself in right now?
Yeah, I'm reluctant to throw dirt on that grave just yet. I did that a couple years ago, and it kind of backfired on me. But I'm sure that he looks around, and he's looking for help from that roster. That team offensively really hummed late in the season. I know they had struggles throughout the year, but, you know, they have shooters on that team, and I think a lot of this is that Boston is really well equipped to stay home on those shooters, but also give LeBron problems with all the different bodies they can throw at him and all the length. It would be kind of appropriate, I suppose, but also for him, I think, galling for Boston to be the team that takes him out here and ends this final streak. So, you know, I'm expecting a pretty big punch from him and from the Cavs, but he's going to need to get a little more from that supporting cast. And I know that's a familiar refrain, but otherwise, you know, I don't really know what's coming this summer. Obviously, nobody does. I'm just speculating, but it feels as if the Cavs are going to need to do something dramatic potentially in June.
Lee Jenkins, my guest. So finally, what about Boston? If they do finish off this series and they finish off the Cavaliers, I mean, of course, the topic will immediately change LeBron's future. But what about the Cavaliers? Can you see them giving either team in the West a legitimate shot?
At this point, I can't. I mean, even Boston. I think Boston could bother teams defensively, but I just don't know, you know, without Irving, without Hayward, that they have the firepower either to match up with the Rockets or Golden State. I mean, you think about what the Rockets have done. They've improved defensively, but I remember talking to people around that team midway through the season, and when they talked about this Golden State series, they were like, we're trying to get to a point where we can win four games 130 to 128. That was the idea. If any of those teams, I mean, I suppose the Cavs, when they really shoot, they could score like that. I just don't know if Boston can score with them. Certainly they can bother them on defense and get them in a grind-out game and muck it up a little bit, get physical with them. But those two teams offensively are just on such another level.
You can read Lee Jenkins in Sports Illustrated. He's a senior writer there. Lee, great to start start the weekend off with you. I really appreciate it, Lee. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it, man.
Have a great weekend, Lee. Lee Jenkins, my disclaimer when I have him on, nobody's better. Brilliant writer. Lee Jenkins, great reporter. All right, so going into the weekend, what do you think? The Cavaliers, can they fight back? He said, I'm reluctant to throw dirt on them just yet. I'm not. That series is over. And normally I would never bet against LeBron. I would normally never bet against LeBron, and especially when LeBron's playing his ways as well as he is right now. Right now, I would bet against LeBron. Gambling becoming legal, if I could legally bet right now against LeBron, I would. And it's not a bet against LeBron. It's a bet against the supporting cast because nobody there is doing anything to help LeBron. This guy could go 40, 10, and 10. 40 every single night, triple-double the rest of the way, and it'll be just enough for them to get hammered again. So that's not a bet against the king. That's a bet against the guys who run with the king, and a bet for Boston. Looking ahead to the weekend, how do you think that plays out? What about Golden State? They got their wake-up call. So they get hammered in the second game. To me, Houston had to win that game, and it was not just their season, their postseason. We're talking legacy now. Legacy for CP3, legacy for James Harden, legacy for Mike D'Antoni. I mean, they had more than their season riding on that game, and they showed up like it. Golden State, unfortunately, showed up like that was the second of a back-to-back midweek against the Pistons in January. And I can see where they might feel that way. They show up in game one. Everybody's been looking forward to this series all year long, and they smash them. I could see where maybe they disrespected the Rockets after game one. Maybe they felt no fear whatsoever, no threat. And then they got punched in the face. So now it moves back to Oracle. But I think it's more than just a mindset. I am concerned about Steph. I'm no doctor. I'm not privy to any intel or information. But when I look at the two games that he had in that series so far, he does not look right to me. And it doesn't look to me like it's something that the Rockets are doing to him. This guy's seen every defense imaginable. He doesn't look right. And if he's not right, they're going to have a tough time getting out of that series. Thankfully for them, he's got some time to get right. All right, so we're coming back. Hour number two next. Hit me up on the phones. Johnny Venters, also next hour. And then we are open the rest of the way. Do not go anywhere.